This message was preached in the Trinity Bible Church pulpit in East Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
Please follow me reading in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 21 through 28. After reading, we're going to pray. Let's read. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. Let us pray. Lord and God, help us in our unbelief. Help us to consider your word as a light in the midst of darkness. Our minds, our hearts, get full of darkness. Get full of foolishness. Get full of unbelief. Our own hearts produce all kind of evil thoughts, all kind of evil desires, all kind of bad intentions. These things come from us. How much more is the evil that dwells in our hearts? But Lord, your word is true. And now we pray that your spirit, our comforter, convinces us of sins, that hidden sin. That your Holy Spirit, our Comforter, allows us to comprehend that only you are just and that through Jesus there's forgiveness of sin. Oh Lord, that he convinces us that judgment is coming because of that sin and that we all will give account before you. Help us, like this woman, therefore, to go with faith, with hope in the only one who can save, the only one who can restore us, the only one who can bring answers to our needs. Come, O Lord, in this very hour and convince us that only Christ has the power to respond to our needs. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray for these things. Amen. The title of the message is God's Response to Simple Faith. Dear brothers, and those who listen to us on the internet, many men and women are remembered or mentioned in God's Word, not because they were great preachers or great in their fire strength and energy, not because they conquered the world or did mighty deeds, saving cities. Not all of those who are given in the Scriptures as examples have faith like that of Elijah, who prayed and the sky was shut. And there was no rain. Not all people are like Moses, for whose prayer God had mercy of his people once and again. And he saw how water poured out from the rock, the hard rock. Brothers, not all of the examples in the Scriptures tell us of people who are mighty in faith. There is a simple faith that the Scriptures also talks about. Many women and men shine in the pages of the Scripture by a faint but powerful and warm faith that burned in their hearts. A flame that the evil one tries to extinguish and even today seeks by all means to destroy in the lives of many children of God. That blazing fire is a gift from God. That is faith. On this day, we wish, with the Lord's help, to bring into your hearts the life of a simple woman, but a woman that was full of faith May this portion of the scriptures become to our souls a means of encouragement, not to faint in a difficult time, encouragement in the drought of our weaknesses and our many needs. May this word of God produce, by His work, true godliness, strength, and hope in us. Dear brothers, if we stay faithful to our Lord, if we stay faithful to His word, in time we will reap the result of our faith. We will reap the joy that our faith produces. This text in Matthew 15, 21 through 28, also found in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, will help us understand what happened in this passage. The Lord Jesus tried to hide Himself from the crowd in vain, because a woman found Him, a simple woman who had a great need. Through this text, we'll try to answer the following question. When does the Lord give an answer to simple faith? When does the Lord give an answer to faith that is placed in Jesus Christ? When does the Lord give an answer to faith that is fragile? Faith that only rests on what God has said. We want to answer this question through this simple passage in Matthew 15. And we want to say in first place that God responds to simple faith when that faith is placed in the right person, in Jesus Christ. God responds to a faint faith that is like a candlelight, a light that could be blown out easily with a quick breeze. However, that faint and fragile light is enough. And it's amazing that it can move the mighty arm of God to work according to the longing of one soul. According to the parallel verse in Mark 7, Jesus wanted to hide Himself. But there was a woman that the Bible says was yelling behind Him. This was a Canaanite woman who lived in the region of Tyre and Sidon. She was a Gentile who had probably heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this action of crying out, according to the text, in the Greek, was an action that was repeated. That is, she began to cry out. This woman was continuously crying out in front of the Lord and His disciples. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even when this woman was shouting, her words were guided by a reverent attitude, since she continuously recognized Jesus Christ as the Son of David, the awaited Son of David. Many years ago, more than 400 years ago, David had received the promise of the Lord that one of his sons, one of his descendants, was going to have an everlasting kingdom. And this woman made a reference to that Son of David. We can also say that she recognized Him as the Anointed One of God, God's longed for Messiah. The cause for her despair was her daughter. We read the reason of her despair according to verse 22. My daughter is seriously tormented by a demon. This is a mother's cry that vividly describes what was happening in the life of her daughter. It is very rare to see a mother leave her children sick, and even more so when they are seriously ill. Yes, there was a good cause for this woman to leave everything and go out to find the only cure for her daughter, who was severely tormented, and we read in this passage, my daughter is seriously tormented by a demon, an angelic being that had fallen, and that no medicine could cure or heal. Medicine in this case was useless to calm the agonies and furies of a demon that without mercy and compassion destroys the life of the one it torments. Remember the demon from Gadara. This man was tied with chains and broke them. He ran naked. He slept in cemeteries and nobody could stand him. He endured cold, nakedness, and loneliness. Imagine a scene perhaps similar with a girl, a little girl. Perhaps for a mother, it would be heartbreaking to see how her daughter is consumed every day that passes and without a medical cure that could free her from such torment. Greatly tormented, greatly. And brothers, this is not a simple hyperbole. This is not a simple exaggeration that this mother is using here so her daughter could be helped. These were not cold crocodile tears that this mother was crying out. She saw her daughter being consumed little by little, and this was the reason why she was crying out loudly. It is important to observe that this woman, being in this situation, was not placing her faith on her own tears. Her hope was not placed in herself, since it was evident that she had already touched ground. She had hit rock bottom. It was evident that this woman had already rejected any hope from any man and from herself. Her faith was placed in no one but one person. This woman's faith was not placed on herself, but in the Son of David, to whom she cried out loud to have mercy on her. Her cry was not based on praise, but on recognizing the authority. She called him Lord. She called him Son of David. She acknowledged the lordship, the authority of the one she was calling out. But she also acknowledged the power that he possessed, the power that he possessed to have mercy on her. She cried out in recognition of this authority, this lordship, and this power, followed by a plea for mercy, because she believes that the one whom she recognizes Lord had the power and authority to respond satisfactorily to the request she made. Satisfactorily because he could cast out the demon. Satisfactorily because no one else had the authority to talk to an angelic being and have him obey. Only Jesus could completely heal her daughter. Her faith was in Jesus alone. In Jesus alone. Not in her argument, not in herself, not in her strategies, not in her daughter who was lying in bed, not in the priests of those times, or the kings. I imagine that if this woman had brought that any king could heal or save her daughter, if this woman had thought that a king or anyone else could heal or save her daughter, she would have gone toward that king. Like that woman that went to the judge's court asking for justice day and night. Day and night. Because she knew that he could make justice to her. Or like that man who looked for an answer before the Lord, as in Psalm we read a while ago. When we acknowledge that only Jesus is the answer, dear brothers, we would be diligently before the Lord, like this woman, recognizing his power, his authority, his mercy, his character, but also calling upon him humbly, lying before him. Her faith was only set on Jesus. When our hope rests only in Jesus Christ, when that's the only thing we got, and there's no other way, there's no other provision, when we recognize in our hearts that when we go toward him and rest completely in him, it's when we acknowledge that only God, the Almighty God, and the one who can answer our needs, when we acknowledge and approach him this way, when the world shrinks and you see clearly that you possess only one hope and only one person that provides answers for you, it's when we find ourselves at that crossroads, when we feel small, curling on a corner of our bedrooms, on bended knees, because the doctors have evicted us, and friends have left us, and not even our children or spouse can bring comfort or peace to our souls. It's there. At that moment, If we call upon His name and we see our hope in the Lord Jesus, that we recover our real faith, a simple faith, a genuine faith. Many people needed this time of pandemic of COVID-19 to shrink and shrink them so much and not let them get out of their homes or their bedrooms. Then what happened? They immediately began to sing the song, "I will resist, I will resist." They sang the song encouraging one another. How can we help each other? Come on, let's hold hands, says the song. We have endured this crisis, they say to each other. Let's endure this crisis. Many stood up and they're still standing up to sing the songs. And that is an encouragement to many. But how sad that there is no God in their songs. God is not in their songs. There is no God in their praise. There is no God even in the mouths of many believers. There is no God. And that is why many have stopped reading the scriptures and forsaking the assembling together. Jesus Christ is not their only hope. Somebody sent me that song. The message said, "Let's do it for the country, for our children. Let's resist." And I responded, "I have decided to only trust in God." I only responded that way. I've quit trusting myself. When our faith is placed in Christ alone, that simple faith, even though it's fragile and weak, even though it doesn't have too much knowledge, it's a powerful faith because it is placed in the right person. It's faith that moves and warms the heart of God. In verse 23, we see the answer of the Lord Jesus. None. You might say, she has already looked for the Lord. She has already given up everything. Now she's looking at Jesus. You might say, well, the problem is solved. Verse 23, then Jesus didn't answer a word. Even his disciples begged him, "Get rid of this woman that is bothering us. Get rid of her." His disciples begged him, not necessarily because they were very merciful people, but because this woman was yelling all the way like crazy after them. "Lord, this woman is shouting," they said. "Get rid of her once for all." And the Lord responded to his disciples, not even to the woman. The Lord said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What an answer. There was absolute silence. He acted as if he didn't even listen. The disciples bothered him, asking him to let this woman go. And the Lord rebukes his disciples with tenderness by reminding them what their call was. To go primarily to the house of Israel, to Jerusalem, to preach the word. It is as if the Canaanite woman had hit a big wall. Her words were right and her faith was placed in the right person. But what happened? What was going on? Why had the Lord not yet answered her plea? It is a question that many believers ask themselves when they pray, and they do it in the name of Jesus and nothing happens. When they fast and still they feel burdened and frustrated. When they go before the Lord and persevere in the reading of the scriptures, they pray and they all read the scriptures and they say they still feel dry and cold. When there's no answer to the problem for in their business, for example, there's no answer in their marriage, there's no answer in their relationship with their children, Why does God remain silent? When silence confronts us like a wall that keeps us away from the answer that we long for so desperately, and for which we cry out to our God, oh dear brother, what we have to do is not to run away. We must not go and put aside our Bibles and go back to Baal. That shouldn't be our answer. Learn from this woman. We cannot say she was a great Israelite. She was not a great Israelite. She was a Canaanite woman. She was a Gentile. Learn from this simple faith. At times we think that God must be deaf because of how much we have asked Him for something. We yearn and cry, and it would seem like our prayers have fallen on deaf ears. We pray for our children, for the wife, for the husband, for our brothers, for our health. And God doesn't answer. I had the privilege to visit a sister called Nona when I first came to the church. And she always sang, "He has all the power. He can heal my disease." Nona never woke up from her bed, and she died lying in bed. But she never stopped trusting in the Lord. That servant of God persevered on her bed, bedridden, waiting on the Lord. Persevering, knocking on His door every day. It was a simple faith that rested solely and exclusively on Christ. And because there's only one God, and only one hope, and only one eternal life, this Canaanite woman, and this is an example for us, never parted from the Lord. In second place, in addition to putting her faith in the right person, when does the Lord give an answer to simple faith? When we make use of the means of grace given by God, and in the exercise of a life of devotion to God. When we make use of the means of grace given by God. See verse 25. Then she came and fell down before Him, saying, "Lord, help me." The Canaanite woman fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ, begging. Just like this woman, we have a means par excellence to bow down before the Lord and beg Him. It is prayer. The greatest companion that every true child of God has. In the midst of his trials, his anguish, and his problems, it is prayer. And this woman was a Gentile. And I can't say that she was necessarily praying before the Lord Jesus. But I can say that she was doing something that we continuously do in prayer. It is begging, supplicating. Prayer is the means by which we can lift up our souls to the throne of grace. And it is written in Hebrews 4:16, but prayer is also a means of grace by which we can cry out with love, compassion, for mercy, and with mercy, as if we were the ones affected. In verse 22, the Canaanite woman says, "My daughter is sorely afflicted." But in verse 25, she says, "Lord, help me." When we pray for others, for our relatives, we join to that pain, to that fight, to the weakness that person has. And we make their needs ours. In verse 22, the Canaanite woman says, "My daughter is sorely afflicted." But verse 25, "Lord, help me." It is here that she identifies with her daughter. As Hendrickson says in his commentary on Matthew, isn't that one of the main characteristics of effective intercessory prayer? That is, being so absorbed in the tribulations and problems of others that those experiences, in a sense, become ours? It is in the use of the means of God has given us that we can bring our pleas and supplications to God. And these means are what God will use to do His work through us or in our favor. And of course, there are exceptions to the rules where God works without any means. When God works besides the circumstances or besides our own unbelief, even when praying, we approach to God with unbelief. Lord, if you can. How do you ask if He can? He can do all things. Lord, see if it's possible. What kind of petition is that? Brothers, when we pray, God stands us. He stands us. However, we see here that we have this means, this grace given by God for us to be strengthened in His power, in His Spirit. Nevertheless, the exceptions, in other words, God's intervention even above the means, just confirm the rule. We have means that God has given us to keep persevering and gaining the souls of men, like the preaching of the Word of God, like devotionals, Bible studies, the assembling together. Those are means that God has given us to keep growing and strengthening in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we are called upon to make use of those means. This woman's daughter was sick. She longed for the Lord to save her. However, observe that when she went to Christ and begged, her request was not answered immediately. But what did she keep doing, brothers? Even though she was not heard, she kept on praying, my brother. She kept fighting like the man who spent the whole night, the whole midnight, praying, fighting with God. Jacob. He kept on. He strove. And God sent an angel. Not to make things easier for Jacob, but to make them more difficult. To fight with him. Let's fight. Come on. Do you want the blessing? Come on. But isn't God a God of love and mercy? Yes, of course He is. Amen. Isn't He a God who delights in mercy? Amen. That is true. But sometimes you gotta fight with Him. For real, do you believe that I can heal you? Do you really believe that I am the only one? The only answer to your life? For your marriage? For your home? Do you really believe? And God tests our hearts. We have to use the means given by the Lord, the means of grace God has given for us to receive from God the answer that our souls long for. But in second place, we have to continuously exercise a life of devotion to God. When the believer does a continuous exercise of a life of devotion to God, this man will keep his life centered in God. When his life is centered in God, through the means of grace, through prayer, through the reading of the scriptures, when his life is centered in God, through our supplications, beggings, prayers, when we are continuously giving fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5:22-23, and we could add as holiness, humility, compassion, contentment, gratitude, sincerity, and perseverance. We can add these things. When we are producing this spiritual grace in our souls continuously, this grace that has been previously given by the Holy Spirit, we will persevere the way it is pleasant to the soul of our God. The Canaanite woman received a terrible reprimand, a terrible shock, the Lord's silence. And it was not fair for the Lord to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, as it says in verse 26. He answered to the woman directly. He had already answered to the disciples. when he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when the woman stands in front of him and perseveres in her fight before him, begging him, then he talks directly to the woman. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. The word translated as dogs refers to the puppies that are at home and are cared for by the owners of the house as pet puppies. As Hendrickson explains, Jesus had already called the woman's attention to the fact that he has not been sent to the outside Israel. The Lord keeps dealing with this woman. With silence, in first place, and in second place, with these terrible words. It is not good to give what belongs to the children to you, my friend. It is not good what belongs to the children to give it to the puppies. It is not right. She didn't feel discriminated by being compared with a puppy, but she saw herself as what she really was in the presence of God. A sinner who didn't deserve any kind of grace, any kind of mercy, a vile worm in the presence of the Almighty. What would happen if you go to the presence of God, acknowledging that in Christ alone there are answers to your needs, that He is the only one who can heal, clean, forgive our sins, save your family, your wife, or your husband? And the answer would be silence. He's ignoring you. And you keep insisting, persevering, as you were taught in God's word. And the answer from God is, you are a sinner. You don't deserve that I answer to your need. The only thing that you deserve is the everlasting fire. And I, purely by grace, have sent my Son to you so that you may believe in Him. Do you think you deserve more than that? Do you think you deserve more? Some people think that God ought to provide answers to us. Some people see God as a supermarket. I've already paid, they say. I've already believed in Jesus. Therefore, every time I ask you for something, you ought to give it to me. Some people see God this way. If I put my foot on something, it's already mine. Lord, you promised it, so give it to me now. Then we say, in the name of Jesus. So, is God someone who is tied up and subjected to my pleasures, my wishes? Because it's obvious that I'm a child of God, you know? I'm a different person. I'm not like any other man. I repented. I'm not like those ungodly people there living in drunkenness. I confess my sins every day. What if God tells you, you are a little dog. You're a vile worm. You're a sinner who doesn't deserve any kind of grace. Why do you come to me asking for these things? This woman bumped out a wall like this with the truth about what she was. Oh, my dear brothers and friends, we'll also be tested in our faith. It will need love, humbleness, patience, and meekness to stay at our Lord's feet, quietly begging, supplicating, and stay there in spite of the righteous reprimand. So, you want me to bless you? But you're rude to your wife. You are tough to her. So you want me to bless you? You call yourself my servant, and you don't serve my chosen ones. So you want me to bless and prosper you? You want to be a blessed man or a blessed woman? As we often say, a blessed man, a blessed woman. And we go to the presence of the Lord and we pray and we ask the Lord. And when God confronts us, like David said, my sin is always before me. David said that and he reminded that to himself. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I am a vile. Weren't those jobs worse? When he was demanding God to give him an answer to why he, a righteous man, was suffering? Why am I suffering? Come on. What have I done? I want God to come here and explain to me what I've done. I will argue before him. When God shows up and deals with Job, remember his words? I'm a vile man and I repent. And I put my hand in my big mouth. Dear brothers, godliness is something that we will need. We need to grow up in grace, grow up in the knowledge of the word, grow up in faith, grow up in love, in humbleness, in compassion, in contentment. Because God won't always give us what we want. We need to grow up in patience because the time will come when you will pray and God won't listen to you. And he will remain silent for a long time. A long time. Have you ever thought that you don't deserve any good from God? Have you ever thought that you don't deserve any of his mercies and kindnesses which abound in your life? Have you ever thought that what you truly deserve is God's judgment and eternal hell? That's what you truly deserve. Think about it. When the Lord said to this woman, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He was talking to her and her own condition, her own status. This is what you are. Are you sure you want to talk to me? Are you sure, dear brother, that you'll go to the presence of God demanding? Do you really know who you are dealing with? You say you really know him. Do you really know that he is holy? Not three times, as Isaiah says, but millions of times. Holy, holy, holy. And that you and I cannot even behold his majesty and glory? How much more to ask him for something? The mother considered the comparison. And not only that, she rejoiced in that and accepted it to be compared with the dog. When God says that you have sinned and you have disobeyed his word, do you stand by his side? Do you stand by his side and confess your sin? Or you rather start to argue? You know, she told me he should have done this or that. Brothers, we think we are good. We are hypocrites that God has to go guiding to the conviction of our sins. We think we are good. Look, I pray in the name of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And I have no answers. What's going on? Pastor, come and tell me. Why doesn't God answer to me? Come, Pastor, and tell me. I'm depressed. Look at my economical situation. Look at my wife. Look at my family. Look at my business. It's ruined. Pastor, how is that possible? Explain that to me. Come here, sit and tell me because I'm about to leave the church. You see? It shows how ignorant you are. How ignorant we are. What did Peter answer when Jesus said, "Do you also want to go away?" "Lord," he said, "to whom shall we go?" I don't know if he fully understood what he was saying. But if he had a little gap of light to see, that was enough. To whom shall we go? What is their light? What is their truth that is not yours? Where? There's none of that anywhere. Only you have the words of eternal life, said Peter. When God confronts us and brings forth our sin to the light, what do we do? What do we do? Because God is going to do it. He will tell us. We are the little dogs. Consider Abraham's prayer when he approached God to intercede for Sodom. Meditate on that prayer. I am a worm of the earth. I'm dust. Lord, forgive me for talking to you again. He said, I'm sorry for talking again. What a reverence. What a tone in his words. Who was talking? A son of Adam, taken from the dust of the earth. That's the meaning of Adam. Taken from the dust. That's what we are. Dust. And when we go to the presence of the Almighty, my dear brothers, a worm is going to his presence. Wow! How kind is the Almighty that he listens to a worm. He listens to a worm that is going to his presence. Someone who is dust of the earth. God led this woman to that condition, to understand that condition. Then, verse 28, the woman replied, Yes, Lord. That's what I am. Yes, Lord. She didn't do anything else. There's no argumentation there. Lord, but I'm not that bad. There's no argumentation like that. She said, Yes, Lord. That's how it is. That's what I am. And she also added, Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's what I am, Lord. What you say is what I am. But I want to supplicate to you that at least the crumbs that I don't even deserve, you give them to me. See what humbleness. What a humbleness that led this woman to accept the reprimand of the Lord. But also, it led this woman, according to this reprimand, and that status that she had before the Lord. To supplicate according to that status, according to that place she had. Brothers, do we pray to the Lord like this? Are our prayers the kind of prayers that recognize our condition of sinners, of fools, of worms, of the vile? We need that. A contrite and humble heart. A broken heart. That's what we need. Verse 28 tells us, The answer of the Lord, O woman, great is your faith. In the title, I talk about a simple faith, but in the eyes of the Lord, it was great. Great because she had come to him. Great because it was faith that had used the means of grace, of supplication and begging. Great, because it had humbly accepted the reprimand. And sticking to that reprimand, she called out and kept calling according to that reprimand. Brothers, this is what we need. Her daughter was healed from that same hour. Have you recognized your condition? Have you put your faith in the Son of David? Have you stayed firm in your requests, in spite of your unbelief, your own sin, your weakness, and the silence of the Lord? Have you persevered? Behold, learn. Let us learn, brothers. We need to put our trust in our God and go as what we truly are, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. People that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, yes, but also as men who are taken from the dust. Men who are also taken from the dust, from the fallen, we are fallen creatures, from the children of Adam. May the blessing given to this mother be our blessing when we pray. The blessing that was given to her by the faith she had in Christ, that meant that also her daughter was being blessed. And as a parent, this gives me courage. As the pastor said before, when Paul told this man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. What a courage. What a blessing to see that God's response to our request can be extended, can be an extended blessing to my whole house. Such as unbelief will extend death not only to your life, but your whole house, your unbelief, your ungodliness, and your evil, so your faith may be also the means that God uses to bless your house, and they acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a great responsibility. Brothers, this is our responsibility before God. Remember that God is a personal God, not a machine that works with two or three steps. I believed in Jesus. I've already prayed as I should. I acknowledge I'm evil. We are not going through steps like 1, 2, 3, and that's it. And we receive the answer to all your prayers. Our God will deal with our hearts. That's what we see in this passage. As he dealt with this woman's heart, he dealt with her heart in a deep way. And there by faith in him, the Lord gave an answer to that faint and simple faith, for which I urge you in these difficult times, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for the moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Dear brothers, encourage one another to pray more. Encourage one another to go in a humble condition, with a contrite heart to the Lord, to make use of the means of grace. You could say that they've taken away your public worship. You could say that they've taken away giving your brother a hug. But they can't take away your God from you. He is with you now. They can't take away the love of your God. They can't steal the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. They can't take Jesus from you. We are united to Him. May God, in this brief passing tribulation, lead us to have a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because we are like this woman, focused on Jesus, resting in Jesus, trusting in Christ, resting in Christ. As we sang in the last hymn, may the Lord grant us to be able to rest in Christ. Let us pray, brothers. God and Lord, we beg you grant us that we may bow down before you, acknowledging the unbelief, the hardness and coldness of our souls. We recognize, O God, that if we know that you are the only true God, O Lord, we also accept with sadness that we haven't come to you as our only hope. We haven't come to you with a fearful heart. Help us. Bring us back to you, Lord. And restore our weak faith. Restore our little faith. So that we can hear the words of our Lord. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. O Lord, glorify your name in our lives. And bless us with your presence in our families, in our marriage. That we may seek you with all our hearts. These are days in which our faith will come now, either purify us all, or will be quenched like a candle with the breeze of our fears. O Lord, increase our faith, and support us through each means of grace that you've given us, so that our souls rest on you. We praise your name. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.